This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 669 of the Authentic Persuasion Show. My name is Jason Cutter. This is the summary episode I have been waiting for all season. Now, I mentioned a little bit in episode 666, weird number, kind of sign of the devil, but nothing to do with Dr. Sterling. I just realized that was the episode that we started off. But on this series, I had Dr. Sterling Bone from Utah State University on the podcast. The reason why I've been looking forward to this, and the reason why this is so special to me, out of all of the amazing professors and people I had on the show, even Neilani Gruel, who's a student who started in one spot and then went into sales and then, you know, in the program and then moved on. So I have professors, I have directors, I have students. But of everybody, the reason why this is so special is that Dr. Sterling and I have been working together since last year on my content being used for his students. And here's what happens normally. And what I've found is that most professors who get into a sales education program, like they're leading a sales program, is they come from their background and their experience. And we've heard, if you've listened to all of these different guests on the podcast in the season 7, then you know. And they've come from different backgrounds. They have their philosophies they like. They have the things they like to do. They like to use spin. They like to use challenger. They like to use medic. They use this. They use that. And then what happens is they come into the class and then that's what they use and they teach, right? They bring the stuff that they've done and then that's their philosophy. Or they make up their own. They've created their own, like I've done with the Authentic Persuasion Pathway, and they have their own framework that works for them. And or they've written their own books or their own textbooks and they have all these things. And so most of them have something in place. And where Dr. Sterling is so special to me is he has some things in place. He has some things he used. He wrote a book recently as well that will then be a part of his coursework. But out of everybody, he's been the most open-minded where, yes, I have some tools, but also, yes, I love new content, and he really appreciates the Selling with Authentic Persuasion book as that tool for the students to use. And so last year, we had a quick conversation, which led into him reading my book over the summer and then giving me a call and saying, hey, I love this. We do not have a book for the fall semester, and I'd love to use your book. And what would it take to get this in front of 75 students and have you participate as well? And that was something I had never planned on with the book, and then something I'd never thought was even possible. I didn't even know these programs existed, and then led into that relationship. And it's just been amazing, right? Where it goes, I don't know, but it's just been really cool. And it's a sign of how much he, and again, I know a lot of these professors do it, but him, I know in particular well, how much he is truly always looking for the best ways to support his students in their professional development and journey in sales and in life. He is always looking for new things. And where I appreciate that, and this is so important because I see this in sales, I see this in business, is it's not, hey, this is what I always do, this is what I always teach, I already know everything, this is what I'm going to give them, like the new stuff doesn't matter, which I see people in sales who are like, this is the way I've always sold, I don't need more training, I don't need to read books, like I know what to do, just let me do what I do best. You see business people is like, well, this is what we've always done, and we don't need to change because we're good at what we do, and we don't need to hire anybody or train or teach our reps anything new or change anything about our company. And they usually struggle long term. And so I just truly appreciate him and his mindset around this, right? It's not even a what he does with the mindset, it's the mindset itself. If he moved on and used a different resource and found something more applicable as the world changes, to me, I'm just happy that he's doing whatever he can for his students. Now, let's go into the recap. That's why you're here, not just me gushing and talking about why I appreciate him and his mindset and what he does for his students, along with all these professors that are on the podcast, because they're all open-minded enough to share, like I talked about in the recap last week. But Let's talk about part one. Here's what was really fascinating and fun, and I didn't even know this about him until he was sharing it on the podcast, is he started in retail menswear, which makes sense. I said it in the podcast, but he's always sharp-dressed, always got a jacket on. In fact, he almost started the podcast without a jacket on. He's like, wait, I need a jacket, and then got dressed up for that because that's who he is. He's like the better-dressed version of me. I think we're the same age. I started off in restaurants and then went into real estate. He was in retail menswear and went into real estate and, you know, kind of went the different ways, but around the same time frame. And so what was interesting is he went through all that stuff and he said he wasn't authentic when he started. And then, you know, just like I did, saw the dark side of real estate and sales and those kind of things. And then he went into some situation where he was dealing with people in a second language and where English wasn't their primary language. And so what happens and what he realized was he couldn't use the tactics and the strategies that a salesperson would use when you're trying to persuade somebody, right? The words you would use, the effective things they tell you to say or do when somebody isn't communicating with English as their primary language and English as a second language. And then you either have to speak in their language, like non-English, or make it so that it's, you know, the concepts are simple and the words you're using are such that somebody who's not a native English speaker can understand. Like if you think about when you're studying a foreign language, other people have to basically talk to you in a way that you might understand the simple words because they can't talk fast and they can't be complicated with their words, even though they want to be. And it like sounds like almost like talking to a child where it's like you have to keep it super simple. And so what's interesting is hearing him talk about that, where he no longer can use the strategies and the tactics to sell, had to be authentic, had to connect with people. And then what he realized, and this was huge. I love this part in the episode where he talks about the fact that sales doesn't have to be overly difficult and taxing. And where is the overly difficult and overly taxing feeling coming from? This is my question, which is that coming from the strategies and the tactics, the pressure, the wanting to get someone to buy for your own reasons or needing to hit your own goals or, you know, needing to use manipulation or needing to constantly think about it like you're playing chess where if they do this, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and thinking 3 to 5 moves ahead at all times in sales. And if that's the case, how taxing is that? How emotionally difficult is that? How challenging is that? And where is the wear and tear on us as humans, where in sales, where trying to do those things and just pushing yourself. This is where I love, you know, I think obviously the reason we find and attract people in our life is because there's alignment. And I feel the same way. I think when you have a process where you know what you're doing and you know what your goal is and your intention is, then sales is simple. It's not always easy, but it's simple. Because you're just trying to help people. And then if you have a plan and a strategy as far as a process goes, like the authentic persuasion pathway, then you have it all outlined and you just got to follow the process and adapt as things go along, like the road trip, right? We want to go from here to there. You know where you're going. You know the milestones you need to get through. We know the states or the roads, the stops we need to make or the places to stay. And then you just go with it, right? Because you just know that you can do it when you have the confidence. So I absolutely love that. That segment there about peeling back what sales can normally feels like for people and then what it can feel like, amazing. Absolutely loved it. It's so, so valuable. Please make sure to check that out. Such a good segment around, I think, about 10 minutes into that episode. Now, let's talk about part two. Part two, we're talking about persuasion. We're talking about the sales process. What he's talking about is people most want is transparency. They don't want pushy. They don't want tricks. They don't want people to sell in a less than authentic way. This is what was fascinating, putting the power in the buyer's hands. And this is a dangerous game if somebody doesn't understand what they're truly doing. So what he said was give them the keys to the car and let them drive. They are driving the conversation. I am just the passenger. Now, what's interesting with that is it's a super valuable tactic because, again, this goes against what I hear all the time, which is people don't want to buy, people want to be sold to. And I think that's absolutely wrong. You know, if you're selling hype, if you're selling motivation, if you think your sales process is very much like an infomercial where you got to get people excited and jacked up, then yeah, people are going to be sold to because they like it like a carnival sideshow. But is that scalable? And do those people actually, are they happy and are they excited with what they buy? Right? I've been to enough of those not a trade show, but like a home show, you know, where there's people who are selling all kinds of things and they've got the microphone on their, you know, around their ear and they've got the, you know, or a lapel mic and they're talking about these frying pans or these knives or these whatever they might be. And they're trying to get a crowd and it basically feels like an infomercial and they're doing a, you know, buy now and you can get this at today only kind of a thing. And that's great. And that's exciting. And you see a crowd and the people buy and then people are walking around with those copper pans or those special tortilla warmers, right? Which is something I've seen like my parents buy. And then what happens with that stuff, right? It goes home and then somebody might regret it and or they might use it a couple of times and they don't use it anymore. They bought into the hype. Right. They got excited, but did they really want or need it? And is it really valuable? Is it helpful? And there's that kind of sale. And then there's the other stuff that we're talking about. When you give the buyer the keys and they're driving the conversation, you are in the passenger seat. But remember, you're the navigator. You're the guide. You're the mentor. You're just not sitting there looking out the window or hanging your head out the window like a dog and you're just sniffing the world and checking things out as they go by, right? You're not there just to control the music. You're there to be the navigator saying, here's where we're going. You're driving, but here's where we need to go and here's how we need to get there and let's get there together. And that's the big key. I see a lot of people take this advice and say, okay, well, the buyer's controlling the process. We want them to feel in control. And then you end up with a salesperson that's an order taker that's not closing deals. And so you have to be able to do both, which is this is your situation, Mrs. Buyer or Mr. Buyer. This is your goal and need. This is where you say you want to get to. And then here's how we want to get there. And then follow me or follow my directions. And I think that's really important. And I love what he said about setting it up, which is, what are you hoping to get out of this meeting? What did you want to talk about? What is it that, you know, inspired you to talk to us or to fill out that form or whatever that looks like, and being that guide that's letting it be about them. And then he also shared a very interesting story about Alaska fishing adventure that he was on, where the guide was basically ensuring that they had a good time and ensuring that they caught fish, thinking that the catching the fish, going home with fish was the primary thing. Right? Not the experience, not the learning how to do it, not the getting the value, but doing it for them. And so where are you doing it, trying to do everything for your prospective customers so that they get the end result that you want, which is the closed deal, versus what are they getting as the experience along the way? And I think it's so important. And I think it's such an important difference. We also talked about coaching frameworks and art versus science and so many different things. Make sure to check out that part two for sure, which was episode 667. Now, part three, this is talking about the future of sales. And we definitely didn't have enough time to go through everything that I know he would want to talk about. Same themes. The first part of it, so many themes that we've heard all season from professors on the season 7, which is, you know, what do buyers want more of and less of? They want to save time. They want to mitigate their risk. They want to avoid bad decisions. They don't want to waste their time with poor sales processes, poor salespeople, poor sales strategies. They want salespeople who are data-driven, that are better scientists and know what they're doing. Also artists, but artists that are data driven, right? Because there's the art of sales and the science of sales. And people, I think, want less of the art and more of the science, but you still have to have both. And again, here's the big key. Buyers want results. They want growth. They want to know that whatever you promise is actually going to happen and they're going to get what you've said that they're going to get. For him, he was excited about the future of sales and mostly about where it's going, which means it's about customer success. I think, and I agree with him, the days of I'm going to sell you, I'm going to hand you off to somebody else, and then I'm going to move on, and I literally don't know and don't care what happens to you next, those days are over. Right? Because it's all about lifetime value. It's all about customer success. Even if you sell something transactional, even if you sell something short term, the problem is that somebody can be upset with it, go online, destroy your reputation as a salesperson or as a business, and then crush your chances of trying to scale because of that reputation online. And so that's where you have to always be thinking about customer success. Going back to that example of going to a home show and buying those frying pans, selling somebody some copper frying pans is not enough to just get the money now and hope that, you know, they don't ever complain or that you can just keep finding, you know, more suckers, right? Not that the copper pans are not legitimate, but like it feels like that kind of mode. How do we just move to another city and sell more people, more of these things? And then until another fad comes and then, you know, next year you see that same person selling something different from a different booth of whatever the trend is now. And again, there's that transactional stuff, but most people learn over time that that doesn't work and to stop going to those shows or stop buying those things because they have a closet full of the things that they bought at those shows that they don't ever use, right? Or when they go on vacation and they get talked into buying some things and they have all the things that they bought on vacation that they don't ever use. And so people want value. People want success. If you're in sales, you want to focus on it. Again, even if you don't ever talk to that customer again, you should focus on them actually being successful with the thing, the product or the service. And that's all that matters. And I think where you're going to see is more salespeople getting more involved with customer success and staying involved with the relationship, whether they have any operational side of it or not, but just being a part of it or being aware of it, because the customer success is all that matters. It's a world full of commodities. It's a world full of self-service. If they're dealing with you and buying from you, it's because they have a thing they need, a result, a gain, or get out of pain, and they want to make sure they're successful, and you should want to make sure they're successful. And then lastly, and I think this is where it's really important, there's two last bits. One is talking about AI, which of course that topic always has to come up, and the fact that with AI, with technology, with all the things, here's the biggest punchline from that, is doubling down on human interactions. With all of the technology out there, with all the things that we can do to replace needing to talk to someone or even leave our house, right? Right now, when I finish this podcast episode, I can go on my phone, order some food that's delivered, dropped off. I don't even have to talk to the person. It's at the door, and then I eat. I no longer have to get in the car. I no longer have to go to a restaurant or a store or even a convenience store or a gas station to buy something and interact with another human. I can literally sit here and do that, which means if I do want to interact or I do need to interact, then it's all about the human interactions. When I go to a store or a restaurant, if I'm going to do that, it's because either I have to, I can't order it, or the human interaction or the experience, which means it's all about the experience and it's all about the human interactions. If I'm going to deal with a salesperson because I need to buy something, it's all about that interaction and that experience, and I better get the experience I want and the interaction that I want. And that's where people need to be focused. Salespeople in particular need to be focused on being even better at human interactions. No matter what technology is available, it actually means you have to be better and better at it. And I think a lot of people are actually getting worse and worse at human interactions with and without technology, and that's going to separate people. And then the very, very last thing, because this is something so important that I want to talk about, is his comments and his excitement about the future of these sales programs, which, again, the theme for this season, season 7, as we wrap it up, I got one more episode and we're going to finish season 7 here, is been these higher education sales programs, right? These professional sales programs, whether it's a single course or it's a minor or it's a major or it's even beyond that, it's been all about that. And so that's been my focus this season, is to bring this awareness to everybody and share this with the world. And then to amplify what the professors are doing, what they're excited about, and their future. And the biggest thing that he said is that when he started, it basically he said it was the redheaded stepchild, it's the weird guy teaching sales classes, and that not being a place in higher education. And that difficulty and that struggle, which I've heard from so many professors in the sales and marketing realm, because it's not tangible, because it's not, it's too much art and not enough science. It's the thing that people don't like. They don't like dealing with salespeople, right? If you've got an engineering or a math department or a physics department, that physics professor doesn't like dealing with salespeople most likely, right? I'm not even talking like in professionally, I'm talking like personally, which means to then have sales being taught, like, okay, you're teaching people how to be terrible, which of course isn't correct. And that's not the point of it all. And then what he said, which is where people are really embracing it and seeing it, especially in higher education, is that everybody is in a sales role. If somebody's in accounting, this was his example, and they go into a firm, if they want to be a partner, if they want to move up, the partners are the ones who are generating revenue. For example, I've been rewatching Suits, which is a TV show about attorneys. The top partners in the firm are the ones who are generating the most revenue, right? For accounting, you can do great work, but at some point you have to be generating your own revenue and bringing in your own clients or adding to what's already there, which is sales. And I think higher education and businesses in general are realizing like there's sales components to succeeding in all roles. If you want to be a great leader, that's about sales and persuasion, because you've got to get your people to move and to change and to be okay with the direction of things going on. And so that's what's great about these programs is people are finally realizing that sales, the gross, terrible thing that nobody wants to interact with, is not the only option for sales and for sales professionals. And there's a whole nother world. And these programs are what's going to make that a profession over time. And that's what's going to change the way sales is done, which is why I'm so excited, which is why I love ending the season on this conversation with Dr. Sterling and even that point there about sales and sales programs. So again, please make sure to support all these professors, any professor you know, any program, any college that you're familiar with. Make sure to follow them online, share their stuff on, say, LinkedIn, and just amplify this so we can shift the way that sales is done.